This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, elegant listeners, and welcome to Go, my favorite sports team, the best sports podcast for non-sports knowers, and also the most entertaining sports podcast for sports knowers. I'm Tyler Scheid, I'm your master of balls and holes, and I'm joined by the illustrious and ever-intelligent Markiplier.
Ever-intelligent? That's not a fact. You don't know that. There were times in my life when I had patently unintelligent moments.
Patently?
Sure, it's a word. Don't question it right now. My brain is not 100%. I think now is one of those patently unintelligent moments.
But how are you, Mark? I know you're tired as you yawn.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I started learning my classical guitar. Been practicing that, which has been fun.
Pointless. AI's going to take over music in 10 years. You'll never play a note.
But I'll have
It's absolutely useless to pursue any personal improvement because AI is going to take over.
I do not agree with this at all.
I'm very intelligent.
Ever intelligent, you might. Your intelligence is never ending. I guess that would be ever intelligent. I don't know.
It's a fountain of constant intelligence. But that's good.
Does that mean you share it with those around you? It just spurts out?
No. I'm not spurting my intelligence. And never use the word spurt again. How is that going? I asked that.
Sorry. It's going well. It's definitely frustrating because I'm still in the early stages, but it's going.
Good.
What do you want more from me? I'm trying to develop a skill and it's just frustrating.
It's just like I'm so curious. All right. I'm assuming you're a master now. I have a master's degree in sports. But what I am a master at is being home.
Are you happy to be home?
I am happy to be home. I just wish I was able to sleep fine. It's not like people are probably like, oh, he's so tired because he's overworked. I haven't been doing shit. But I just, for some reason, being back home and not being in the rhythm of filming, it's screwing with my sleep. For some reason, I keep waking up like, I gotta go set. And then I just haven't been able to get good sleep. I've been getting like 4 hours for the past week. Every night. And I'm so tired when I wake up, and I wake up tired. I'm like, I want to sleep more. And then I can't fall back asleep. And I'm like, but all I want to do is sleep. Bah, doesn't matter. That's excuses for nonsense. We're here to talk about sports. And nothing will stop us from talking about sports.
You're right. And today we're going to be talking about the sport I won a state championship in.
He won the state champion in this. Tyler, what is it?
I don't know if you're asking for my last name or for the sport. You're like, Tyler, what is it?
No.
I was like, wait, did you forget my last name or did you forget the sport?
No, I know your last name. Yeah, of course. We all know it. Everyone knows it.
All right, what is it?
We know it. Come on, man. No one needs to say it out loud. You don't want to put that kind of personal information out there on the internet or else people might steal your identity. You can't have it.
You're
You're right. It's not at all posted on every single social platform that I use at all.
No, not at all. That'd be horribly wrong, bad of you to do.
Yes, everyone would discover exactly who I am. But the sport is water polo.
Water polo, okay.
And before people make the joke, we're not riding horses in the water.
I don't think people would make that joke because I'm pretty sure no one's first inclination for polo, or at least in the me not knowing sport category, would be polo with the horses. Honestly, I'd forgotten that polo with the horses existed. What a silly sport, polo.
Polo is interesting. We'll have to do a primer on that at some point, but not some today.
Well, I would love to talk to someone that actually plays polo because that is fascinating. How do you even get into that? I feel like there's a lot of country clubs involved.
Yes, country clubs are definitely involved when it comes to polo.
I can't stop.
I feel like it's a very rich sport. You got to be able to afford a horse and a lot of land.
How much does a horse cost?
Depends on how good the horse is, I guess.
To buy a horse, you can expect to pay $100 to $10,000. You can get a horse for cheap.
Hold on. Cheap is relative here.
$100 for a horse? That's no money at all. That's easy.
I mean, yeah, you could probably get a horse for $100, but I don't know what quality of polo playing horse that would be.
It can learn, probably anyway.
I wonder what horses cost $100. I imagine like if you're doing like the Adopt a Mustang program. I don't know if that still exists.
What? Adopt
a Mustang.
I've never heard of this. Adopt a Mustang. I just looked up Adopt a Mustang. There's nothing about it. Where were you adopting Mustangs?
Wild horse. Yeah. Adoptions and sales.
Adoptions. What do you mean? You're saying that like it's a normal thing? I was like, adopt a Mustang.
There's a wild horse rescue, California. Adopt a rescue horse or a wild Mustang. That's a thing.
But I'm not hearing where you would learn about adopt a Mustang. That ain't a thing.
That is a thing.
What are this? Distractible? We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about water polo. Stay on topic.
Okay, fine. Let's get into water polo then.
Let's not, because we have jacuzzis.
See, now you tell me to do something and then you do something else.
The ghosts don't wait for anybody. Odd Winter 7531 says, Tyler, you didn't do the disclaimer we talked about. Now how do I convince my roommates to stop? You know, hope you're happy. Sincerely, me. What did we talk about that I can only assume made people unbelievably horny all the time? Like, that's what I think I'm cluing into, the context clues of what this sentence is getting at. I know we probably are the sexiest sport program on the internet, but at the same time, I don't understand what we talked about that made people horny, unless it's just the power of our voices, which I would understand.
To be fully honest, when I talked to this person, it was during the Able Gamers Gala, and I was so unbelievably sick that weekend that I have no idea what I talked about.
You know this person?
That I met them through the Able Gamers Gala. It was a digital gala where you could like video chat with people.
What did you say to their roommates?
I didn't say anything to their roommates. They said their roommates, for whatever reason, do the sex a lot.
Then what possible disclaimer were we supposed to just say, hey, Odd Winter's roommates, you knock it off. Give it a break. Yeah. What's wrong with you? Disclaimer for how much you're doing that. Stop.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one. The disclaimer that I initially thought of before you got into the tell my roommates thing was the disclaimer of do not drive or operate heavy machinery while listening to this podcast. If you choose to do so at your own risk. I guess, and we are not liable for anything that happens.
I don't see how that would lead to anybody porking all day and night, but all right.
I don't either. That was the disclaimer that immediately popped into my head. I don't know about the sex one.
Interesting. Well, Mr. Toastman said, Tyler, we the people in the merch eating group are appalled that you told us that we cannot eat the foam finger. How dare you? Why? What?
I don't know. So I
are you doing like another podcast with someone else that I don't know about? Because I don't know where any of these references are. But I do know that you can buy the foam, the iFinger Sports Foam Finger at store.gmfst.com. It's $13. You get an iFinger Sports Finger that you can finger at any sport game.
Yeah, did you read the description I wrote for that?
A foam finger like none that have come before. With this 18-inch foam finger, you can finally showcase how much you truly for sports. Designed with Mark's expert finger foam finger design, you too can be on. You can be on top, wink, at any and every event you bring it to. Start your epic journey, sports journey today by pushing that on the add to cart button now. That's a great one. That's really good. You should be proud of that. I'm sure people that listen only and don't watch on Spotify were wondering what I was doing, and then the people who watched it on Spotify are like, there was no extra context given to anything that I said.
But yeah, apparently, so I announced as soon as we got, were able to add that to the store on the Discord, and the first response was immediately, is it edible? Can we eat it? And I'm like, no! And so they got upset that I told them not to eat a foam finger.
Listen, you shouldn't eat the foam finger. That's all we can say and all we're legally required to say is that you shouldn't. It's not made of material fit for human consumption. However, it's a free country. We can't stop you in the privacy of your own home.
But we're not liable if you choose
we're
to
not
do
liable because we're saying don't do it.
Yeah,
it
don't.
Won't, it's not healthy. It won't be good for you. It might, I don't know, be toxic. Don't do it. You shouldn't do it. We don't recommend doing it.
It is not made of edible material. Do not consume.
Period. Question mark. Anyway, all right, that's all we got. There's one here talking about how I spoke bad of Converse, and I'm like, I don't remember speaking bad about Converse. I just said that I don't like the comfort of Converse, but for some reason, I find, like, in costuming, it always comes up. Converse is like, oh, it's the go-to shoes for costumes, and I'm like, it's so painful. Anyway, that's all I got. Ghosts have been purged.
This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. You know, all those subscription websites, they just hide those charges from you. They're hidden and repetitive and you forget about them.
Oh, I know exactly which websites you're talking about. The ones that you like to go to.
You do? I've literally spent so long digging through my finances.
Rocket Money can help cancel your subscriptions.
You're saying Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings?
Absolutely, yes.
With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for me? Up to 20%?
Maybe. But for our listeners, definitely yes. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/sportsteam. That's rocketmoney.com/sportsteam. That's rocketmoney.com/sportsteam.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Well, Mark.
Yeah.
You know I played water polo.
Do I?
You do.
I've never actually seen you play it.
You didn't go to a single water polo game?
No.
Not one?
No.
I'm appalled. I am appalled. We were friends in high school and you didn't come to a single water polo
The only game. Reason I went to football games was because I was in band. I'm not going to go. I got World of Warcraft to play, man. I ain't going to be going out to those games.
That's true. You're a trumpet. The drum line came one time because that was for senior night. They played the drums and really hyped up the crowd for us. It was very loud because that pool gets really, really loud. And, you know, they don't have any sound like echo cancellation, so those drums kind of hurt your ears.
Oh, fair. Well, that's not good.
But anyway, water polo.
Water polo.
What comes to mind when you think of it?
Water polo, there's a pool.
Besides me.
You were not in the top 10. You got water. You got a ball. You've got nets. You got Speedos. You got head things, and then you, that's it.
All right. Well, water
yeah,
polo.
Yeah, you got no running signs around the pool. You got wall curtained off behind the nets. You got people, this is where you do come into mind. You got people reaching under your Speedo, under the water. And just grab and
throw. Why is that? Why are you saying my eye come to mind when you say that?
Because you told me that people would go like reach underwater and just grab scrote and just twist.
I didn't do that.
But you came to mind because you told me about that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the things that come to mind.
Well, what should come to mind is that it has been voted the world's hardest sport. In numerous different reports and surveys and testaments of experts based on physicality, endurance requirements, strength requirements, basically all the different things like that you can categorize sports by, like violence, it ends up being the hardest and world's toughest sport year after year.
What's the second hardest?
I believe they put like swimming up there, rugby's up there, Aussie rules football, boxing. Let me go into the number. All right, boxing and rugby are up there. Ice hockey is also up there, and Aussie rules football.
Okay, but water polo beats them all?
Yep.
All right, that's impressive. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I played the world's toughest sport, Mark.
Wow.
That's why I'm the master of balls and holes. Well, that and the master's degree, but.
Are there any holes in water polo?
Yes. The goals are basically a hole, and all the people have multiple holes. They have mouths and ears and eyes. And
and go on. I need a comprehensive list of everyone's rectum. Holes. Rectum.
Urethra.
Yeah, go on.
Don't
women play?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a term that was, I'll just say the actual scientific, vaginas.
Yeah, it's called a vagina. That's what it is.
I was like, I was trying to say which one would be the nicest one to say, and I didn't know which one.
None of it's nice. This is an uncomfortable situation to be in, and we're forcing everyone listening to regret listening to this on a speaker of any kind.
This is the disclaimer for those that are listening next door with your roommates.
This is all very pertinent to what water polo is. Don't turn away. Don't turn that dial.
Don't change the channel.
I was fumbling with their headset like... It's too late, man. Too late.
All right, act one.
Oh, boy.
The history and origin of water polo.
No. Let me guess.
All right, go for it.
So we talked a lot about various sports and their origins, but because this one is a pool-based one, it could not be ancient history, right? There's no way. There's no soldiers that were swimming a ball-shaped bomb, or it's soldiers swimming a ball-shaped bomb into another ship so that they could shove it in the cannons and then. That's a goal because it'll blow it all up. Was that
it's putting a ball in a hole.
Is that what is that the true history of it?
No. All right. But it did stupid. Start as named as water rugby in the 1850s okay. in Great Britain. But you don't need a pool to start playing water sports because lakes and rivers exist, Mark. Yes, they played in lakes and rivers.
No, I don't think they were invented yet. I don't think that's a thing. All right,
while
okay.
the exact origin is unknown, it's thought that it evolved from a sport called polo aquatic, a game where players would use oars on wooden barrels in the water to both move and hit a ball, similar to how they actually played polo on horses, but they'd be on barrels. It's believed that players often fell off of the barrels, continuing the game in the water, and over time, the cumbersome barrels were removed and the game began to resemble modern water polo.
So that sounds like fun because you would have to have a paddle as well. It's basically polo. Oh!
That's why it was called polo aquatic.
Oh, because you're right. Oh!
However, there's a lot of people that do not cite this as the origins of water polo, but some people believe that led to what became current water polos after they got rid of the barrels and everything.
All right, fair enough. Whatever.
An expert, or expert, I'm the expert.
Okay.
An excerpt from a 1929 article titled Le Water Polo states, it is possible to think that during the first half of the 19th century, the precursor of the game of water polo was this polo aquatic. For natural reasons, because we understand that in such practices, the players would often fall from the barrels to play the ball from the water, forcing them in their evolution to get rid of a heavy and impractical material.
I want.
As they master the medium, they start a game in which they must swim with the ball in the liquid medium.
I don't want you to say what country that quote's from. I want everyone to go to the subreddit and guess. Let's get a poll up. And just see where the hell people think that quote is from. Because, oh my goodness, that might be your best yet. That really was something special. Oh, wow. Oh, good stuff, man. Very good.
Anyway, goalposts were added in 1877, starting in Scotland, along with the first set of rules. In 1890, the first match between two national teams took place, with a Scottish and English team facing off in Kensington. The Scottish team won 4-0. Water polo rapidly spread throughout Europe between 1890 and 1900, leading to a number of tournaments in Germany, Austria, France, Belgium, Hungary, and Italy. These tournaments followed the English rules created for the game. Water polo was brought to America in the 1880s. However, the American version was more like rugby in the water and had rules that differed from what was played in Europe. The European version was more violent and used a softer, leather, partially inflated ball.
Is this back in the era where I'm assuming they had moved to pools at some point here, right?
I'm imagining so.
Was this back in the era of America where everyone had to be naked in the pool? Because that was a thing. Wasn't that a thing?
I don't know. This is the 1880s. I don't think you ever had to be naked to
no,
be in a pool.
No, we talked about it on this podcast at some point.
No.
Yes. In American history, there was a time when everybody had to be naked. Is that a thing?
We were talking about Greek history with the Olympics.
No.
We talked about the naked Olympics.
The naked Olympics. No. Wasn't there a time? Maybe I'm crazy.
I might be crazy.
I literally Googled era in time when you had to be naked in the pool and nothing is coming up. So you're lying.
I don't think I'm lying, but maybe I'm lying. Okay, so they weren't naked. All right, I see.
They could have been. Maybe they chose to be.
I'm sure some people play water polo naked. I'm sure.
All right, well, in the 1900 Paris Olympics, it was the initial Olympic debut of water polo, where Great Britain became the first winner of Olympic water polo. Water polo was wildly popular at the time and is one of the first team sports ever added to the Olympics.
Oh, interesting. Very fun.
The Olympic Games in the early 1900s used European rules. However, when the 1904 Olympics took place in St. Louis, the American rules were used. causing only American teams to enter. It's probably for the best that more teams didn't play because, according to an article in the New York Herald published after the event, several athletes contracted typhoid fever from playing in the pond that was used for the matches.
Oh, well, that's not good. Is this the era and time when they didn't have a cure for that?
I don't know. I mean, early 1900s, I don't know if a cure was invented for typhoid.
Oh.
Or at least not a readily available like treatment.
Whoa.
But and the article read, "The water was green and slimy, like stagnant, putrid pools found in swamps. After the first day's competition, 7 of 12 NYAC men were compelled to take to bed, sick from the effects of the water in which they swam."
Well, that's sad. I have nothing more to add. That's just sad. I'm assuming they died.
I don't know. I have no more information.
Okay, then.
Evolution to modern water polo. In the 1800s, a bladder ball, which was made out of pig's bladder or stomach, was used as the water polo ball. While the balls were somewhat buoyant, they became heavy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they became heavy and slippery in the water.
Yeah.
And the dark color was hard to see, so they'd lose track of the ball. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, new materials such as rubber were experimented with, which made a lighter ball that was easier to play with, but still heavy by modern standards.
Okay.
It wasn't until 1936 that a more modern rubber ball with a cotton bladder was invented. In 1948, the ball's color was changed from red, which was the natural color of the pig's stomach or bladder, to then be bright yellow, making it much easier to see in the water. Modern water polo balls today are made from foam, rubber, nylon, and other synthetic materials, but are mostly still bright yellow from tradition. Though other colors also can now be used. As of, I think, 2005, FINA, the International Swimming Federation, allowed that to be used in water polo.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
So the first FINA Water Polo Cup was in 1979. It took place on odd years until 2002. So there is a Water Polo World Cup. Then it switched to being held 4 years with the introduction of the FINA Water Polo League, which is an annual tournament that ended in 2002. Now only the World Cup remains.
Cool.
Water polo has been a part of the Summer Olympics since 1900, though the disastrous 1904 water polo games were not recognized as official until 2021. That was the one with the typhoid fever.
Ah, okay.
I think it was the typhoid fever. In the early 1900s, water polo matches were played in rivers and lakes, but it wasn't until 1948 that separate indoor venues were created for aquatic sports. Pools.
Gotcha. Okay.
The first dedicated water polo venue built for the Olympics wasn't constructed until 2012 London Games, and it was torn down once the games concluded.
Okay.
So, rules and gameplay and how they evolved. So, it evolved from what was its Victorian origins to what is today. In the 1870s to 1800s, several versions of the games were played. The number of players, size of field, and rules varied. There were a lot of different rules that were out there. For example, in the late 1870s, games consisted of 7 to 9 players with goals marked by flags. However, by 1888, rugby goalposts with a crossbar 6 feet above the pool surface were used for scoring.
Whoa.
There was a brief rule change when the new goalposts were added in the late 1880s. This rule allowed goalies to stand outside of the pool and led to goalies leaping upon players as they came close to the goal. After several broken necks and broken bones.
So they implement, this is where the infamous Marco Polo rule came into play when they had to be blindfolded in playing at the Olympics and you'd call out the goalies and hope you didn't get a cannonball in your nog. I see how this is going here. Okay.
Needless to say, that rule was quickly reversed after some broken necks and various serious injuries that occurred.
You know, various serious injuries like broken necks. Yeah, that's awful. All right, cool. Dope.
Yep. So, the violence of the sport, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really getting into the soul of it.
So, FINA then was established in 1908, and the European version of water polo was favored over the more brutal American version. And in 1911, the European version was officially adopted as the rules for all international matches. I imagine the Americans still had the goalie outside and was just jumping on people.
That's actually how pro wrestling got started. So that just showcases that it really is a sport, pro wrestling, because it's got its roots in water polo. Go on. If you rearrange water polo, you get pro wrestling. Actually,
no, there's pretty, not enough.
Pretty
water.
Close.
That was actually
pretty close.
Pretty close. By World War II, the American version of water polo died out and only official FINA-approved version remained. And FINA is now World Aquatics and has grown from having 8 nations as members in 1908 to over 200 today.
Boo! Cowards! Bring back the broken necks and typhoid.
So there's been numerous rule changes, including a recent rule change that just came about this year. But to go over a few of the historic ones and some of the major ones. 1949 and before, the game of water polo was considered to be too drawn out. So a rule allowed play to continue after an ordinary foul was introduced. Hmm. This sped up gameplay considerably. Hmm. In the 1970s, the shot clock was introduced, giving teams 45 seconds to attempt a goal. And if they failed, the ball was given to the opposing team. AKA speeding up the game, much like basketball used to not have a shot clock. Now water polo does as well.
Basketball?
The addition
didn't have
of
a
second
clock?
Referee. Yeah, basketball back in the day. Have you ever watched Hoosiers?
No. What's Hoosiers?
It's a movie. It's a basketball movie about its older basketball. There used to be no shot clock. So as long as you maintain possession, you could win a game 2-0 just by maintaining possession of the ball and never letting the other team get the ball.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting.
So, the addition of a second referee was added in the late 1970s in an attempt to make decisions more balanced.
Balanced. Okay, good.
Yes.
Good, good.
During my days of playing, here are a couple rule changes I dealt with. When I first started playing, there was a 7-meter, a 4-meter, and a 2-meter line.
Okay.
The 2-meter line was the offsides line, the 4-meter line was the penalty shot line, and the 7-meter line was if you got common fouled behind it, they could take a shot from 7 meters out from the goal and just like you get common fouled and you could shoot right away. That then changed when it was my junior year to being the 2-meter and 5-meter line and the 7-meter line was gone. So then the 5-meter line both became the penalty shot line and also became the, if you got fouled behind it could shoot right away.
Oh, okay.
And it has since changed now to the 5-meter line marker is the penalty shot, but now it's a 6-meter line for the foul behind shoot.
I am lost.
It's fine. Yeah, it'll, okay. It'll get explained now. We're going into the second act.
All right.
Act 2. It's your favorite act, Mark.
Why?
The requirements.
The requirements. The requirements, right?
Yeah, like a pool. You need a pool.
Oh.
And the pool must be between 25 to 30 meters in length and 10 to 20 meters wide.
Okay.
The depth must be at least 6 feet deep or 1.8 meters deep.
Okay.
However, there are ways that allow shallow end pools to be used, but generally for high level and Olympic level play, this is not okay. But rules allow the shallow end generally if a pool has a shallow end, because all old school pools did, for the goalie to then stand on the bottom. They're the only player that could stand on the bottom. But only within
one of the goalies gets to stand.
It would
on
only
the
be one, yes.
So you get a goalie an advantage. Seems a little unfair.
Milford's pool. There's a shallow end.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what changes. For the shallow end, the crossbar top of the goal must be at minimum 8 feet high from the bottom of the pool.
Oh, damn.
So that's 2.44 meters in height. So therefore, the shallow end tends to be way higher. So when you're standing, like even my head doesn't touch it because it tends to be significantly taller than I am tall.
Fascinating. So they have to really jump for it if they're able to be on the shallow
Correct.
End. Okay.
Correct.
So there is a bit of a balance. It's still not balanced, but there's definitely a bit of a balance, right?
Yeah. And there's the width of the goal remains the same. So only the height changes.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Now you need a goal as well for both ends.
Mm-hmm.
3 meters wide by 0.9 meters high for the deep end.
Mm.
That's the internal hole. That's the size of the hole you can throw the ball into, Mark.
Good.
3 meters by 0.9 meters.
It's a weird number.
Yeah, it's 900 millimeters by 3,000 millimeters.
All right, cool, good.
And then it protrudes from the end line by 0.3 meters. That's important for a later factoid.
Okay. I'm not
and obviously they're centered on either end. What?
I'm not going to remember that.
That's fine. There's markings and zones, though.
I'm just letting you know right now. I don't think I can remember that.
There's markings and zones, though, Mark.
Okay.
All right. Just because I can,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna share this with you.
No way.
So you can see this image.
Five videos. I apologize, everyone. I don't mean to make everyone yawn at home. I have had very little sleep.
Yes. So this is your pool.
Okay, I'm looking at a diagram. It's blue. There's like a green bar at the top and bottom. There's yellow bars next to the green bars radiating from the center line vertically. And then there's red bars on the end of the yellow bars, which are adjacent to the green bars, top and bottom. In the blue, there's a bunch of lines. There's a few more green, yellow, and red lines. Some red lines on the side. And then there's some words in the middle.
Ooh. All right.
I can't read those. Ball release device.
Yes, that's one of the things.
All right.
So the red line in the red marking area goes out to 2 meters. That's the offsides line. Okay. That is the line you cannot cross unless you have the ball in your possession. So that once you cross that, it's like the icing line in hockey. Where if
I would
the offsides
know.
Line in hockey.
We didn't do a good hockey primer.
Oh, you shush. So the 2 meter line is 2 meters from the front of the goal. That's that red area I showed you. That's the offsides line. The 5 meter mark, that's that X mark on the side in the yellow. That's the penalty shot area.
Okay.
That's where if somebody has to take a penalty shot, they line up with that and shoot on goal.
Okay.
The 6 meter line is where the yellow section stretched out to. That's where if you get a common foul from behind it, you can shoot immediately if desired. It is a strategy to play outside that line to get a common foul and take a shot because it's a free shot. The person in front of you cannot reach forward to block it. They can only have their hand behind their head.
Fascinating. All right.
And then the half court line is the midline. Initially, the goalie could not cross this line.
Huh.
New rules state that the goalie can, in fact, play the entire court, the entire pool. When I played, you couldn't. But the 6 meter line is also important because that's how far the goalie can use two hands out to.
Hmm.
Any further and he can't use two hands.
Weird.
And,
why is that,
in
why
shallow
is that
end, you can't. Because water polo field players, once you leave the goal area, it's just like in soccer. You know, remember the goal box? How the goalie can't use their hands outside of that box?
Right. Okay.
That's a similar thing in water polo because in water polo, you can only catch and throw with one hand aside from the goalie within the goalie area.
Ah, okay. I figured it'd be hard to swim anyway.
That's why you tread water.
I see. I can't even do that. I can't tread water with just my legs. I'd drown immediately. If I was tied with my arms to my sides and I was thrown in a pool, I would die. Sink to the bottom and die.
I believe in you.
No, I'd die.
I can teach you.
I don't
it's called
to
the egg
caught.
Beater kick.
The egg what?
Yeah. Egg beater kick. If I had shoes on, I'd stick my legs up and show you how to do it.
Why don't you have what does that matter? What, are you afraid to go on footreview.foot? What is it again?
Wiki. Here, I'll be off to the side.
I can't see it. I don't have this in widescreen mode. I can't see your feet.
All right, let me run and put socks on. I'll be right back.
No, I don't want to see it. Don't give people that.
Oh, okay, fine.
Don't All give right. them what they want.
The ball, 2005 FINA permitted the multicolor ball, which allows yellow and different colors to exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's around 400 to 450 grams, which is 14 to 16 ounces. That's how heavy it is.
Oh,
and it's rubber okay. and it's textured. If you rub your hand along the outside of a water polo ball, it's rough. Your hand will naturally be inclined to stick to it.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
And that's so you can actually grip it when it's wet. There are various different sizes. Size 1 is splash ball. It's most commonly for like teaching and younger ages. It's really tiny. Size 2 is for junior. It's for 12 and under girls and 10 and under co-ed. Size 3 is the intermediate, 1400 girls, 12 and under boys. Size 4, originally called women's, was for 14 and under boys, 16 and under girls, 18 and under girls, high school, NCAA, and international women's size ball. It is a regulated circumference of 0.65 to 0.67 meters, requiring a pressure of 12 to 13 PSI. But as of 2023, FINA decided to reduce the required PSI to 6.5 to 7.5, dropping it in half nearly.
Wow.
Size 5 is the biggest size. It's for men's. 16 and under boys, 18 and under boys, and all other men's NCAA international. Circumference of that ball is 0.68 to 0.71 meters, and it's 13 to 14 PSI until the 2023 update to be 7.5 to 8.5 PSI. Now, the FINA update requires those to be Mikasa balls, though. It's all right. Now we're in the fun part.
Mark,
remember wrestling headgear?
Yes.
Water polo has a similar cap.
Okay, cool.
So you don't get cauliflower ear.
Great. Isn't that only from impacts? Are people getting punched in the ear in this?
Yes.
Okay.
And hit with the water polo ball that I told you is very heavy and very hard.
Okay.
But there are different colors for each team. Goalies have to wear a distinguishing color from the rest of their team. And they have those plastic pieces on the side of them that look like wrestling headgear.
All right, holes got in it. Them
so that all the coaches right. can yell at them. Swimsuits, so people can't reach in and grab your scrote. You okay. wear tight swimsuits, like Speedos.
Uh-huh.
They can be jammers, which are like the thigh-length ones. And then women also wear very tight-fitting full-body suits because they get scratched and also pulled on and grabbed and all kinds of stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
Mouth guard's not required but recommended because you will get kicked in the face. I have many times.
Good.
I also took a ball to the face, not the scrote ball, but the water polo ball.
Okay, I'm going to try to recap everything I've learned.
We're getting into the people, though. We got one more section of this act, and then we'll talk about
what we're doing. All right, cool.
13 players on a team, 7 people in the game for each team at a time. 6 field players, 1 goalie.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Now you can do
that's it? There's no positions?
There are positions, but I was going to go into that after you do your recap.
Okay, so it all starts with a pool. They find any kind of community pool that's been available, doesn't matter shallow or deep. They jump in, and then they release the typhoid. Now, you know those chemicals they put in pools, right? And you know the one that makes your pee turn green if you pee in the pool? Well, it's kind of like that, but it's for the typhoid. So the 7 players on each team, they cannonball in, elbow dropping anybody in the way. That's why they got the headgear. And then they got to swim and navigate through the streams of glowing green typhoid to be able to get to the other goal and then shoot a shot with no hands that tie behind their back, and they gotta scoop it up with their mouth, I think you said, and then they hoover the ball to their lips, but it's dangerous because the typhoid is flashing around and all the typhoids everywhere, so they gotta like make sure they don't to the side that it's covered in. You're giving me the worst glare I have ever seen. And then is this what happened when I was doing the earlier primers? And you know, I couldn't see your face.
People couldn't see me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they swim egg beater style or something like that. They go over to the other side. One goalie is 9 feet tall. One goalie is 6 feet tall because one goal is higher than the other. And then they poof to the other one and they get it in the goal. And then everyone's naked.
That's how it ends. Everybody's clothes just vanished.
Exactly. Well, it's actually, no, I back it up. It's like a human centipede because the reason their hands are behind their back is because they got to grab onto the scrote of their teammate to be able to chain up and get enough momentum for the egg beater tornado to be able to send the ball high enough. But that's only for the team where the goal's 9 feet in the air.
All right. That is not at all accurate.
Okay. Well, I get points for effort.
You get points for massive creativity. All right.
Thank you.
So here are the positions in water polo, Mark.
Oh, okay.
You have your goalie.
Ah.
You got hole set, which some people called the center or center forward.
The hole.
And then you got your wings. Your left wings. Wing and your white wing.
Your what wing? Your white
right.
wing. Your left
right
wing and your white wing.
Right wing.
Your white wing. All right, left wing and white wing. Got it.
And then you have your flats.
You got your flats.
Also can be called drivers, but we call them flats. You have your left flat and your right flat. And then you have your point.
All right, so you got your goalie, hole man, left wing, white wing, and flats, also known as dwivoos.
And then you have your point.
Your point?
Yeah.
There's another point. Person there?
Yeah, that's your 7th. It's because you have your goalie that's on defense, and these are the offensive positions that I mentioned.
Okay, I see.
And then to match, you have your whole D, which is your whole defender.
Your whole D. Wait. Hold on, I'm counting. Goalie, okay, and then
This is the other team.
Why are they different?
Because they're playing defense. I'll explain how this works.
Whoa.
I'll explain how it works here in a sec. But you have your whole D. These are defensive positions.
Your whole D.
Your wing defenders.
Your wing defenders.
Your flat defenders.
Sorry, you mean wing defenders.
And your flat defenders.
Flat defenders.
And your point defender.
So it's just the same rules, but you put defender on the end of it.
Yes. But here's what happens, all right?
Okay.
So let me explain these positions first.
Okay.
All right, your goalkeeper. This is a person you want that's got high tread capability. They got fantastic reaction time. They're lanky. They got a giant arm span, you know, like me. Big arms.
Stop flapping. I don't like it.
They're the only player allowed to lose both hands or a clenched fist to control the ball.
A clenched fist. That doesn't make any sense. Why is their fist so clenched?
They can punch the ball, Mark. They can do your punchy ball.
Gotta watch out for the hole man right in front of the goalie. His fists are tight and ready to fight.
No, that's not the hole man. The hole man can't use fists.
No, but he's got to watch out for the goalie's fists. They fly.
Oh, yeah,
they're
that's
big.
True.
Those
that's
arms,
true.
they're like Elastigirl. They just...
Exactly. They're your quarterback in water polo. They're the ones who are calling out the defensive positions. They're calling out where the ball is. They're calling out what to do. They are the field general on the defensive side of the court, and they are the quarterback on outlet passes. They are the ones who will throw the deep ball to get fast breaks.
Goalie.
That is what I played. I was an All-State honorable mention goalie.
Wow. All-State honorable mention. You'd think that the goalie of the team that won would have been the one to get the goalie.
I wasn't the goalie for when we won state. I didn't play goalie that year. I moved to field.
Ah, I see.
I played whole D.
You played whole point. D. That's why he's the master of balls and holes. It all makes sense.
All right. Now your center or your whole set.
Your whole set.
This is your big muscular dude. This is the man that nobody can drown. He's the one who can wrestle. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's mobile. He can throw people into the goal with the water polo ball.
What the fuck?
They are big.
They
are strong. They tend to be long. They need agility and accuracy, but they're the ones that can quickly control the ball and be able to turn a person and the ball to try and score a goal from directly in front of the goal. They are generally the most powerful offensive position in water polo.
So they turn your opponent into a pretzel with their bare hands.
Yes. Ow. These guys are huge. You know your D linemen that take no shit from nobody in football?
I think so, yes.
That's your whole set.
Wow. Nice whole set.
So these guys need to have incredible scoring prowess. They need to be incredibly strong treaders. They need to be incredibly strong, agile, quick, and have great eye-hand coordination to be able to both gather the ball and pass it when needed or turn and shoot. They need to be able to overpower, and they will wrestle for position constantly. It is a battle in the whole set spot. Your point is usually the person who directs the offense. They need to be the most crisp passers. They are also the person that plays whole D, so they need to be big and be ready to wrestle against the whole set defender, because as you swim down the pool, the way it works, Mark, is they play in a triangle. The points at the top of the triangle... The flats are at the second 2 points, the wings are at the side, and the whole set is in the middle.
Ah.
That's how an offense works.
It's like that triangle golf tee game from Cracker Barrel.
Correct.
And so it's just a matter of skipping in the right order to be only left with one.
No.
If you're left with three, you're an idiot. If you're left with four, you're an ignoramus. If you're left with two, you're pretty smart.
So based on that offensive position, Mark, to glance over what you were just doing, if you think about the offensive position, right, you have your point man. Mm-hmm. They're the closest to your own goalie. So yes. They become the whole D because they need to defend against the whole set. So it's like if you shift them down, your flat offensive players are your wing defenders generally. Your wing offensive players are your flat defenders, and your whole set is then the point defender. That way you don't overswim. You're not swimming, like you're minimizing the amount each player on your team has to swim from their offensive defensive position. They will rotate based on different things that happen, but that's how that works. Your flat offensive players are generally fast swimmers. They're ones that can drive and score. They have great passing capabilities. The points and flats are generally your best passers. They need to be able to pass the ball, move the ball around really easily, catch and throw the ball with one hand, keeping it dry. Mm. When you set the whole set, you get a wet pass, which means it lands in the water in front of them. And then your wing defenders, your wing players, are also generally your breakaway players. They need to be fast. They're the ones that get the deep pass. They're like the Jamar Chase, right? They're streaking down the field so the goalie can throw an outlet pass to them so then they can get a fast break goal.
Okay. Jamar Chase is a wide receiver.
That is correct. All right. So those are the positions in water polo.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Act 3. What? It's game time. Huh.
Hey.
What?
Nothing. I'm cheering. That was a cheer. You said huh. I went, hey.
Hey. All right. The game begins. The first quarter. 8 minutes in length. The referee blows the whistle as both teams must get in position, divided evenly. Three on one side of the goal, three on the other side of the goal, and the goalie in the center. The ball is floating in the middle of the pool, held by a release thing.
The ball
keeps it
release
centered.
Device!
The ball release device, that's
I remember
correct.
That. Yeah, okay.
The whistle is blown and the swim off commences. First team to get to the ball and pass it to their own team gets first possession. The race continues. They drive down. They get in their positions. The pass from the flat to the other flat to the point to the wing. They run a spin wheel. The flat man drives down. The whole set backdoors out by backpedaling to the other wing. The wing floats up to the flat position. They pass it in. And he scores a goal. Woo!
What happened?
A goal was scored. They reset. Now they're on each other's halves at the center of the pool.
They're on each other's halves?
Yes. So one team is on their half towards their goalie.
Oh,
the scoring
I see.
Team.
I thought.
No. The team that just got scored on has the ball. The whistle is blown to restart game. The clock has stopped every time a goal is scored. The whistle is blown to restart. The clock restarts. They pass the ball back. They move down into their positions. So each quarter restarts with that swim off. Shot clock is 35 seconds.
Okay.
It's 30 seconds in international play, 35 seconds in high school. So 30 seconds shot clock.
Okay.
Oh, no, the ball hit off somebody's hands. It went out of bounds. The clock stops. But who gets the ball? So when the ball goes out of bounds, the defending team gets the ball. If it was untouched by the offensive team and they throw it and it goes out of bounds, either on the sideline or the end line. But on the end line, if the defender blocks it, that's not the goalie, and it goes out over the end line, the offensive team retains possession. No, that's the goalie. If it goes up, if it's blocked by a defender and it hits off a defender, that's not the goalie and goes over the end line, the defense gains possession of the ball. But if it's knocked and tipped out of bounds over the end line, which is behind the goal, the offense retains possession and gets the ball on the 2-meter line on the sideline and can immediately start play, can shoot right away and pass and shoot anything. And every time the ball goes out of bounds, until the ball comes back inbounds and play is restarted, the clock is stopped.
Huh.
Now, they're battling it out. They throw the ball into the whole set, and the whistle is blown. They kicked out the guy who was defending him. He was pulling on his suit. He was punching him in the face. He was reaching in and grabbing the scrotum and squeezing, but the ref saw it, so he's kicked out.
Christ, no. Do they have a ref underwater? Do they have a scuba ref? Do they have cameras underwater?
In Olympic play, they show what happens underwater, yes, but the refs don't see it.
It can't be that interesting to watch. Or maybe it's fascinating to watch. Or
it's
maybe
fascinating. It's they're punching each other. They're using pressure points. They're doing all kinds of stuff.
They're using pressure. They use kung fu.
Oh, my God. I did in the state championship game. I'll tell you this. Huh? I made the brachial artery here in the bicep?
Sure.
So I was squeezing that guy's bicep the whole game because he was twice the size of me in state and made his arms go numb to where he started fighting me.
Great, good. Well, he couldn't because his arms were limp noodles and he was just trying to slap you with his limp arms and he couldn't.
Yep, needless to say, we both got kicked out because the ball was on the other side of the court and there was just this churning water and battle happening. They're like, you get out of here.
I remember when I was throwing and I pulled the bones right out of someone's arms. He never saw it coming, couldn't throw with no bones. Good times, good times.
So a kick out is like a penalty box in hockey. It gives the other team a man-up situation, so they have an offensive power play to be able to have a better chance of scoring the goal. It's for 20 seconds. The player is out for 20 seconds. Once the 20 seconds are up, they can swim back in. They cannot push off the wall or anything.
So this is like hockey where the game goes on without the person?
Correct. And you can have multiple kickouts. Two people, three people could have a personal foul at the same time and continue the power play. It's just greater setup. And you generally run a 4-2 offense and a man up. Whoa. So 4-2 is you have four people in a line. So you have one person on each post of the goal. The wings stay there, and then you have two on top. And you move the ball around the circle and rotate in order to move the defense out of position to score the goal. It's the general strategy you play.
Are there any refs in the pool, or are they all outside?
They're all on the sidelines. They're usually two refs that are situated right on the goal because they make sure that the ball has crossed all the way across the front of the goal to be able to score. And then you have refs on either side that are tracking and monitoring the game from above.
Okay, cool.
So a lot of stuff that goes on underwater is unseen, but they try and anticipate and call it.
Gotcha.
Each team has two timeouts they can use throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to stop the clock and do substitutions and stuff. Anytime the clock is stopped, you can freely substitute players as long as it is a long stoppage. So like after a team scores, you can switch out players. Even now, you can live substitute in water polo. The way the arena is set up, there's lane lines that block the boundaries. You can have a player swim up the sideline and your player swim under the ley line, give them a high five, and then the other person can go in.
Is that part of it? They have to
high five is required. You have to make contact.
That's in the rule book?
I don't know if it's officially in the rule book. I was talking to my coach who's been coaching now for years and years and years to confirm this yesterday because I was like,
hilarious.
The high five was distinctly mentioned in that conversation.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That didn't used to be a thing. You used to have to swim to the penalty corner to switch out. But now you can move all the way up and down the side of the pool to be able to substitute.
Well, that's lovely.
By the way, if the ball gets knocked out over the sideline, the last team that touched it is the team that is marked for marking it out of bounds like basketball, so the other team gets possession of the ball.
I see.
Now, the fouls. This is interesting. The reason I mentioned the kickout is the ejection foul. Or exclusionary foul, or major foul. There's a lot of different names for it.
Gotcha.
You only get three of those per game. Once you hit three, you're out of the game. You cannot get back in the pool.
Shit.
It's like basketball, where if you get five in college or six in the NBA, you're out of the game for the rest of the game.
Shit.
If a personal foul happens inside of the 5 meters in front of the goal with an impending high percentage goal shot anticipated, And they use like grabbing on the player's suit, pulling them back. They're not playing for the ball. They're playing the player, just trying to stop them. That's how you get a personal foul. That's when you get a penalty shot.
Okay.
So those are the types of personal fouls. The exclusionary foul is similar to the hockey penalty box, like I mentioned, to do the man up. It's the same thing. If you're playing the player and not the ball, if you do anything that's like pulling on the suit, pulling on the arm, punching the guy in the face, you know, that type of stuff, that's how you get those.
Punching the guy in the face. See, yeah. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. You know what I mean?
Now, there is a common foul that I mentioned earlier. That's when you just separate the ball from the opponent's hand.
Okay.
And it's just single whistle.
I see.
It's just briefly stops the clock until they retain possession. That's the free foul, where if they blow the whistle and you're behind the 6-meter line, you can pick up the ball and shoot it. As we call it, grip it and rip it.
Grip and rip.
Yep.
The old
but you
grip,
can also
rip.
Pop the ball.
Pop
which is
and
where
stop.
You, you pop the ball as you separate the ball from your hand, either by dropping it in the water or tossing it in the air and re-catching it. And then you are live again. It's no longer
toss
a free
toss it and
throw.
Floss it.
Toss it and floss it. Now, back to the game. There's
game
a man
it
up situation.
Situation,
man up situation
it or blishuation it.
One of us rhymes, one of us lies, one of us is full of long ties.
Oh, God, I am losing it, man. I'm losing it. I'm losing it, man.
All right. My so 8-minute periods. Whoever has more goals at the end of it wins the game.
Okay, good.
So, different players only can catch and throw with one hand. You're treading water the whole time. You're not touching the bottom of the pool. You're not allowed to push off the bottom of the pool. In an all-deep pool, you're not going to reach the bottom anyway. And it's the world's hardest, toughest sport ever made. Mankind truly, yeah. But usually a game lasts like hours. There's only 2 minutes between each quarter, 8 minutes of clock. But usually each period lasts anywhere like around 15 to 20 minutes because of stoppage time and goals scored. And you're swimming up and down the pool, treading water the entire time.
Oh,
that's water polo.
That sounds awful. Why would anybody do that?
It's fun. It's a combination of, it originally was called water rugby. It's a combination of wrestling and soccer and hockey all thrown into one. You got the balls getting thrown at you at 60 miles an hour plus, getting hit in the face, blocking them from going in the goal. You got people wrestling and jostling for position. You're catching and throwing a ball with your teammate. The amount of coordination and skill in there, the swimming. Oh, oh, I love it. I miss playing it, but.
Oh! Whoa, hold down there. Well, that's not so
sorry,
much.
Sorry.
No.
No, but I played and coached this game. There's a lot more to it than what I did, but that was the briefest overview I could give of the actual game with covering the history and everything in there.
You ever fallen in love in the pool?
In the pool?
Someone grab
like
your
fallen scrotum. Fallen in love just, in the pool?
Just someone grab your scrotum just the right way.
No! I've been kicked in the balls. Nobody ever grabbed mine. I only heard stories of my friend Riley getting grabbed. Yeah. And he put the guy in the headlock and was just like slamming him into the water. That's the only instance that I know of that happening. That was during sophomore year of high school.
Wow. Love it first slam.
But yeah, I coached water polo for like 3 years and I played water polo for 3 as well. Well, technically more than that because it's college.
And that's water polo.
That's water polo. The brutal, insanely endurance demanding world's toughest sport.
I am so ready for the subreddit to be all on my ass for how tired I was today. But I learned some things about water polo, and I know this. It all starts with a ball launch device. You grip it and rip it, and you human centipede your way to success 9 feet above the pool.
But you want to know what else is exciting?
What?
We are going to meet and have a guest on our show who is the greatest water polo player to come out of the United States, Tony Acevedo.
Tony Acevedo?
Yep.
The Tony Acevedo? A-Z-E-V-E-D-O?
Yes.
Tony?
Tony.
Tony. I will learn who this man is by the time he gets here. Is he going to be mad?
No.
Okay, good.
So those listening to the podcast, go to the subreddit, go to the Discord. If you have questions you want us to ask Tony when we have a chance to talk with him, please let us know in the Discord and the subreddit. Maybe we'll pick your question. Maybe we'll ask him. Maybe we'll find out what it is that you desire to know about the man, the myth, the legend that is Tony Acevedo.
Well, thank you very much for informing me of all this. I apologize for being so tired, but I did learn a bit, I swear.
You're good. And one of these days, I will show you the fun times that is water polo. We'll get in the pool and we'll see how you can egg beater and not drown.
Dude, you're going to see how fast I sink. That's all you're going to see. You're going to be playing with Tony Acevedo and you're going to be having a great time. You're like, where's Mark? And then you look down, there's just a smudge at the bottom of the pool just where I've drowned and started to pickle. It's not going to be good. But I'll do it.
All right, listeners. You want to support the podcast? Go check out the video exclusively on Spotify. Go check out the merch, store.gmfst.com. If you want to interact with us, go to the Discord, Distract-A-Go. Or go to the subreddit, which is reddit.r/GMFST.
GMFST.
It's reddit.com/r/GMFST. I definitely said dot slash.
Dot slash. You know, the old dot slash. I get you.
Yeah, but go get the pins, go get the new foam fingers, and get the posters before they're gone, and some of the t-shirts, because some of those might be discontinued as well. So hop on those before they're gone. Get your chance to get something you want and support the podcast all along the ways. Also, go check out Mark. He's starting to post videos back on his YouTube channel, youtube.com/Markiplier. And I'm learning guitar and hopefully we'll be back to streaming soon. But you can follow me on socials at apocalypto_12.
Sounds good.
In the meantime, eat responsibly things that are edible.
It's weirdly specific.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Now go get some rest.
I will.